Please grab your Bibles quickly. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. If you have your picture on the wall at the Dollar General, you might be a redneck. You were thinking it, you just didn't say it. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, let's all stand together as we read the Word of God tonight. Title of the message tonight, Brother John, is 12 More Stones. 12 More Stones. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. I consider this to be the greatest pulpit in the land, and I don't apologize for it. God, you've brought me to this special place at this special time to preach a perfect word. I am an imperfect man, preaching to an imperfect people. But Lord God, I'm so thankful that you truly are perfect. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you truly are flawless. And Lord, you've given us a flawless word to preach. Lord, be with us tonight in a very special way. Let the folks open up their hearts tonight to hear what you have to say. And Lord, please get me out of the way. I don't need to be here tonight, but Lord, you certainly do. Lord, let me decrease to nothing and let you increase to everything tonight in this message. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look in that first verse, I notice one thing that impresses me. And isn't even near what I'm talking about, but wouldn't you like to be called the servant of God? Wouldn't that be an awesome compliment? To be called God's servant. To be called somebody that did what God asked them to do. To be called somebody who bound themselves to their Redeemer. Who are called somebody that cares about what God has for them. Wouldn't you be delighted to be called the servant of God? Joshua was no different. Although Moses and Joshua were slightly different in their leadership qualities, the same general qualities were contained therein. Joshua was more of a warrior. Moses was more of a deliverer. But the Lord needed them both. The Lord needed both leaders to accomplish what he had set before them. The Lord needed both men, not one more than the other, not the other differently than the other. But the Lord has a plan. Not one man decided to usurp the authority of the other. Not one man decided that he was better than the other. No, it was a relationship that Moses and Joshua had together, that Joshua knew his place and he was the place of Moses' minister. Not surprising that Joshua, being such a great follower, not surprising that the Lord ends up using him to be a leader. I would to God that we would get into our heads that we must be great followers long before we can be great leaders.
You'll never be a great leader unless you're a great follower.
What's amazing to me is how quickly we want to take the mantle of leadership. How quickly we desire to move God along to be a leader for God. I've got to be honest with you. I used to walk these shoes where I desired to have a leadership put upon me, and I desired to have leadership, and I'm going to be honest with you. Now that I have some leadership, I notice the drawbacks of being a leader. I notice the drawbacks of some of the things that you have to deal with that, boy, you didn't have to deal with before. Joshua realized when this mantle of leadership was placed upon him by God, not by the people, but by God. God put that there, and Joshua realized what it was. He realized that he could not stumble even for a moment. He realized that he had to be a leader that God would be happy with. I would to God that we would desire to be leaders that God would be happy with. Yes. I would to God we'd be leaders that the Lord himself would say, you know what, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that they were obedient and available. Look at what Joshua is, look at what is said. In verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only time that success is ever mentioned in the scripture is right here. Amazing that it's tied to the Bible.
Right.
Amazing that it's tied to getting into the Word of God.
Amen.
Amazing that it's tied to trusting in what God hath said. The main qualification for a leader of any type is that he knows what God hath said. If your leader does not know what his Bible says, then you do not have a leader. You have a fake. You have a man willing to put a question mark behind your Bible. You don't have a leader. Because what in the world are they going to build the foundation upon? And if you have a leader that puts a question mark after the Bible, that leader was not put there by God. Let me say that again. If there's a leader that's willing to put a question mark behind your Word of God, then God didn't put him there. You may have put him there. You may have wanted him there. He may have gotten voted in there. But God does not want a leader that doesn't know his Word. Not a good leader. Not one with good success. But that's not what this message is about. You got to be very courageous to be a leader for God. You got to be obedient. And by the way, being obedient takes courage. It takes courage to trust what God hath said and not what man hath said. It takes courage to search the scriptures. Even with our preacher that's been here for over 20 years, even with our preacher, you've got to trust that the Word of God is right and not our preacher.
Yes.
And you can preach it all you want to. The shepherd that has been put here by God. But if our shepherd ceases to teach the word that God has gave him to teach, then we no longer have a shepherd that's right for us. And by the way, he echoes that. That's not something that he's upset with me saying. He echoes that. You don't want a man coming in here tearing apart your word.
Yes.
Joshua had a specific leadership role. He was a warrior. Joshua, I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit here. Joshua learning, he took over the leadership. They're getting ready to cross over the Jordan. Jericho's in front of them. Joshua decides, instead of sending 12 spies this time, because he was with that group, he's only going to send 2. He remembered that him and Caleb came back and said, let's go take them. He remembered, if we're going to go into the promised land, let's go, we can do it. The other 10 spies giving an evil report stopped them from going in, disobeying God, and you know what happened. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I don't want to wander in the wilderness. Joshua, learning from the 12 spies, sent only 2 to spy out Jericho. They met up with Rahab and found out they could take the great city with ease. You can look that up in Joshua 2:24. But it was only to be done God's way. Joshua knew this. In 3:5, he talked about it. Let's look at that quickly. Joshua said unto the people in 3:5, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Another great qualification for a leader is the leader is willing to say it's not him doing leading. Let me say that again. A great leader, the leader that God has put in, will be willing to admit that it's God doing the leading and not him doing the leading. He's willing to admit that God is the authority, not him. He's also willing to understand that he is the step authority placed there by God and has a very great responsibility. Always giving God glory. I get real tired all the time of men giving each other mutual admiration. I love you, you love me, aren't we all happy? I would rather have them say, thank God for putting me where I am. Thank God he's done what he's done. Thank God because God is the one that is taking care of me. The Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth before, over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel. Listen, this is what happened. I've got to paraphrase some of this because it's already late. You remember the Red Sea. You remember Moses walking up to the edge of the water and taking his staff, holding his staff, and the Lord parted the waters of the Red Sea. You remember the fact that they walked along on dry ground. Well, here is something very similar, different leader, but very similar circumstances. And it wasn't a sea, which would be a lot more daring, but it was a river. Now, if you know anything about the Jordan River, the Jordan is a little bit more than a creek, really. But I'm going to be honest with you, at this time, the Bible says that the Jordan overflowed all of his banks. The Jordan was, this is the time of harvest. This is the time when the rains came. This was the time when the water was long and big. The water was deep and fast. And over on the other side of this Jordan that the Lord has commanded them to go, stood Jericho. Now, Jericho was a walled city. You've sung about it many times, I'm sure. You've heard about this all the time where the men walked around Jericho and the walls fell down, giving God the glory because they didn't even fire a shot and the whole city was consumed. We understand that when they got to the edge of the water, the priests, therefore, the people of Israel, 2,000 cubits behind, they didn't want to be, the Lord didn't want them anywhere near because it's new territory, the Bible said. They were going in a place they hadn't gone before. So the Lord marches them into the Jordan. The Jordan stands up on a heap. Can you imagine that? The waters part again. The waters part again. The Lord says, I'm going to magnify you in front of the people just like I magnified Moses. Why? Because they need a leader. Me as associate pastor, I've got to magnify my leader. Got to. I got to magnify my leader. I've got to let him have the, he's got to have the leadership. That's my leader. That's my shepherd. That's the man that's above me. I would to God we'd live our lives like that. I would to God we'd live our lives realizing who our leaders are and who God has put in authority. I would to God we'd live that way. And the Lord was saying, listen, Joshua, I'm going to do some miracles and some wonders through you. I want the people to see you. I want the people to know you as my leader, the one that I have chosen. And the waters heaped up. The Lord commands them. I want you to see something here. The Lord commands them to have 12 men out of the 12 tribes, one of each. After they've all been through, the Lord wanted them to grab a stone. To take each man a stone and take it to where they were going to lodge. Why? If any of you know anything about the Lord is very much into memorials. He's very much into remembering him. A great example, this do in remembrance of me. This memorial, this second of the church ordinances, this thing that we do called the Lord's Supper, this thing that we do called communion, this thing that we do is so we can remember what God has done in dying for us. When they crossed over the Jordan, the Lord wanted them to remember. He wanted the people, and let me tell you, I've heard lots of numbers on how many people that were in Israel at this time. I've heard lots of different numbers. Suffice it to say, it wasn't a few. Suffice it to say, it was many. And a lot of them had died in the wilderness, but still it was many. They crossed over this place. 12 men come. They pick up stones and they take them to where they lodge that next night. They put the stones down and build a place there. A place that they could remember. A place where they had victory. A place where the Lord made a way. A place that was not crossable alone. A place that they could not get through without the help of the Almighty. A place where they got to witness again how strong their God's hand was. A place that they could come back to. And when their children would ask, "What mean ye by these stones?" they can say, "We saw the mighty hand of God that day." I would ask you, do you have a place such as this? Do you have a place that you can remember a great victory, that you can tell your kids about a great and wonderful victory? Do you have a place that you can take them and say, and show them a battle that could not be won when you were on your own? Is there a place where you can say, "You know what? This is where I had to rely on God. This is where I could not make it on my own. This is where I saw His great hand, and this is what I'm going to remember." When your children grow up, are you going to be able to tell them that you saw God wrought a wonderful miracle in your life? Can you take them to a place such as this? But I'm not even talking about those 12 stones. I want you to look at something else. I'm going to read this with you, and it's not even 7 o'clock yet. I'm actually doing pretty well. Verse 2 in chapter 4 says, "Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm." Imagine standing firm on the word of God in the midst of the river. Can you imagine standing firm on the word of God? I can. 12 stones. "And you shall carry them over with you, and then leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night." Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." He wanted everybody to remember. He wanted everybody to have a stone. And he wanted that man to carry the stone. So when he went back, he could say, "This is my stone. This is my stone. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What mean ye by these stones?' will you be able as a daddy to say, 'I stood on the word of God'? Will you be able as a daddy to say, when the hail came and when the opposition came and when the fighting came, 'I stood firm right here'?" Yeah. Is there a place that you can tell your children? Is there a place that you can tell your friends? I want you to see something else. "What mean ye these stone, by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. But look at the next verse. I like this. And Joshua, the new leader, and Joshua, God's new anointed man, would you not agree? And Joshua set up 12 stones. He set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. In the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. Look at this next sentence. And they are there unto this day. I believe my Bible. I believe that if you waded through the Jordan, you'd find 12 stones set up. You'd find them where Joshua had grabbed them and put them there. You'd find them. And then you got to understand something. I asked myself about this. Why, Brother Kotiver, why would Joshua take the time to set up 12 more stones? God commanded him, get the people to set up 12 stones where I lodge. Get the people to say, when they go to lay down their head, I want them to have 12 stones piled up. Why would Joshua set up 12 more? I got to asking myself that. Do you know, and I want you to think with me. When this church has a victory, would you not agree that the children of Israel together had a victory that day? Together. Was it Joshua's victory? No. Was it the 12 men's victory? No. It was everybody's victory. Let me ask you a question. When the church does something great and we have a great day, do you recognize that you are part? It's a good question, isn't it? Do you recognize that because you're here, you are part? Do you recognize, well, I didn't drive a bus. Well, that doesn't mean that you're not part of the victory that the buses give us. Well, you say, I don't give. Well, I think you ought to. But I'm going to be honest with you. You're still part of the victories of the church. I got to think, I got four things. And listen, I'm going to take some liberty here. I got four things of why I think Joshua put those stones in the river. I got four reasons why I came to grips with the fact why Joshua went back by himself and put the stones in the river. I've watched my preacher do this before. I've watched him. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have actually done this myself, and I came to a realization of why Joshua was here. And I hope that you grab a hold of this in the short time we have left. Four reasons. Number one, I believe that Joshua was personally recognizing the power of God's hand. Now, wait a minute. I can have personal victories. Yes, I can. I can have personal things happen in my life that are victories that I can claim. Yes, I can. Let me explain to you. When our church has a victory, do you remember that you were there? Do you remember that we had a wonderful victory at Bethel Baptist Church when we burned the mortgage? Did you set up a memorial there? Did you set up a memorial that God can on that day for you? Oh, I understand. We have pictures of the men standing up here trying not to burn the church down. But let me ask you a question. Joshua went back not with fanfare. He didn't go back with trumpets blaring. He didn't go back and go to a place where he was telling everybody, look at me, here I go. No, he took 12 stones and put it where the priest's feet stood and says, this is where God did something wonderful. And I was part. Even if he was the leader, he could have said, everybody, I've got it under control. Right? Follow me. I am your great and powerful Joshua. He could have said, when I tell the priest to step into the water, these waters are going to heap up. And when they do, you'll see how great I truly am. Or did he take the stones there to say, this is where God did something great? God doesn't say in here that God commanded him to set up a memorial. Does not say where God commanded him to take 12 stones back to where the priest's feet stood. But I got to thinking about that. Seems to me that I wonder if God was waiting to see if he would give God the glory. I wonder if God was interested in Joshua's innermost heart over what had just happened. There's going to be a day, and I'm going to use this for all four points. There's going to be a day when we cross over the Jordan. Yeah. Going to be a day. We've been preaching about it. It's almost like the rapture now. You've been preaching about it since 2000. When's it going to happen? In God's own time. And when we cross, where are you going to be? When we cross, are you going to remember that you were part? Because I got to be honest with you, every single person in this room is part of this wonderful victory we're going to have. Are you willing to set up a memorial for a personal recognition of the power of God's hand? Even though it's a group victory, you should find personal victory in the group. Number two, personal remembrance of the fulfilling of God's word. Oh, this is good. I love how the stones are there to this day. I love how he put them there and they're still there. I love how Joshua heard what God had said. You do understand that Joshua listening to what God had said is the same thing as us reading as what God had said. You do understand that. You do understand that God's word is God's word, whether it was spoken by God or spoken by God. Amen. You do realize that when the Lord came down and said, Joshua, you need to go to the Jordan. And Joshua didn't say, well, it's too wide. You need to go to the Jordan. Well, it's running too fast. Joshua, you need to go to the Jordan. Well, I'm a warrior, not a leader. Joshua, you need to go to the Jordan. And when you get there, put the priests in the water. Well, they're not going to be happy about that. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. They're not going to be happy about stepping into muddy Jordan. They're not going to be happy. They might get swept away. Lord, did you hear Joshua question the Lord at all? No, what you heard was... Amen. The men get to the edge of the water and the water stands up and Joshua, I got to believe that Joshua just sat back and said, amen. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Your pastor's told you that we ought not borrow the money. Whether you like it or not is irrelevant. Now listen, I got to believe that not everybody was thrilled with going over the Jordan. Not everybody was thrilled with the idea of swimming. Because that's what they probably thought. They didn't have the luxury of having Joshua already written in front of them. But Joshua told them, listen to me. This is what God hath said. God hath said that we are to cross right here. God has said that we are to cross in this way. God has said when we go to cross that we should stand back so we can watch the priest go into the water. He said to me that when this happens, we're going to cross and the waters are going to heap up. He said when it crosses and the waters are heaped up, the land is going to be dry again. And Joshua, witnessing what God hath said coming to pass, I believe he wanted to remember that this is what God hath said, and it came to pass. He took him 12 stones. He said, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. You ever took a picture? Because you just wanted to remember something. We were going through family videos. I'm going to embarrass Russell. Russell, he's here tonight. Russell Lamb. God bless you, son. He was about this tall. You remember Russell when he was about this tall? A little shorter than Lizzie. And he had his hair all combed over. And he had glasses about three times the size of his face. And he was with Natalie in the kitchen. You didn't think he was going to get embarrassed tonight, did you, son? And he was in the kitchen and Natalie was talking. Hi, Daddy. Hi, Daddy. This is back when she was sweet. And we were watching these things, and it brought back memories as dad of how life was back then and how life is now and how things change. It's amazing how remembering something can really kind of jog your memory a little bit, how remembering something can become so very special to you. Anybody have family videos at home? I don't want to see them, but I just wondered if you have them. A memorial. That God, what God had said, came to pass. What God had said. You know, preacher, the Bible says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7 that the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The next verse is very intriguing. It takes the preservation out of our hands. It takes the keeping out of our hands and puts it into the hands of an almighty God. And the Bible says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. In 2011, we will have the joy of having the Word of God in the English language in our hands for around 400 years. So exciting to know. Listen to me now. So exciting to know that God kept what He has said. Now you might ask, Brother Dave, why would he want to remember that? Why would he want to remember what God has said? Why would he want to remember that coming true? I'll tell you why, Christian. It's very, very simple. Because if you can go back to a place where God kept His promise, if you can go back to a place where God did and performed that what He said He was going to do, if you can go back to that place, you can grab a hold of that place and say, I know that when He tells me something in the future, I know that when He tells me something, I can count on it for sure that my God is going to perform it. You do not have a God that cannot perform His promises. You've got a God that's not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. You've got a God that loves you. You've got a God that cares about you, and He's promised to preserve you. I cannot wait to go to heaven. Do you realize that we have a promise waiting for us called heaven? Those that know Him as Savior, we've got waiting for us streets of gold. We've got waiting for us walls of precious gemstones. We've got waiting for us a feast that cannot be compared to any feast we could have here. We've got a heaven waiting for us that has no more goodbyes. No more funerals. No more heartache or pain. Joshua set up a memorial to himself, personal memorial, saying this is where God did what He said He was going to do. And this is a place that is still there to this day. Number three. Goes kind of long with the second one. He had a personal remembrance of God's promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember what we read in the first part? As I was with Moses. Come on now. Are you tired tonight? I'm not tired. I feel great. Good night. I had so much fun preaching another night with the frogs over in Super Church today. I was hopping around like a frog. I had the kids chasing me, and I was hopping around like a frog. Do you know they caught me? They're merciless, little brats. God made a promise to Joshua. I know it was God's word, right? It was God's word. This is where God performed it. No, no, listen to me now. He kept His promise of, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As I was with the first leader, I will be with this leader. As I am with you, my friend, I will be with you forever. It's a promise that we have that we can hold on to. That is, He was with my dad, He will be with me. As He was with Brother Bob Shell, He'll be with me. As He was with Brother Tom, He'll be with me. You've got to understand, God changes not. God lies not. If He was with you before, He'll be with you again. There's never a time when God leaves us. And I believe that Joshua wanted to remember that. How many times can you raise your hand and attest to the fact that you didn't realize that God was still there? Joshua wanted a place that he could go to. Joshua wanted a place that he could have retrospect and realize that the Lord's never left me. In Joshua's deepest and darkest days, and yes, Joshua had them. Yes, every single one of us go through those times, but we can go back to that one place. The place where 12 more stones were set up. The place that you personally can go to and realize that God is who He said He is. God has done what He said He's going to do. And God has kept His promise from the beginning all the way to the end. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Last one and I'm all done. And this is something that I touched on earlier. And it won't take me long. He wanted to set up a memorial personally. This was done personally. You don't see anybody helping Joshua here. This is personal. Joshua sets up a personal memorial, coming to the realization that he was part of something that was bigger than himself. He set up a memorial realizing that he could claim his own victory. he could claim his own win from what God hath done for the entire group of people. Because Joshua too walked across on dry ground. Joshua too got to witness the waters being parted. Joshua too, although he was the leader, could claim the triumph and victory that the Lord was offering. And I believe he wanted to remember that. I've heard many times where people told me that they didn't feel like they fit in at Bethel. They didn't feel as though there was enough work to go around. You lie. There's enough work to go around and around. And around. And around one more time.
Amen.
But Joshua wanted to make sure, Brother Tom. See, I take victory from you leading somebody to the Lord at the mission. Come on now. I take victory in the fact that Brother Tom leads somebody to the Lord at the mission. Do you know every time somebody leads somebody to Christ over in the super church, I take victory? Not selfishly. I just become part. You need to hear this. You got to realize something. Just because somebody goes out on soul winning and leads somebody to the Lord doesn't mean you weren't part. We praise God for the missionaries that we have. We praise God when they come here and they stand from the pulpit and give you a very real truth that says you are part of every single person that gets led to Christ, even though not every one of us gives to missions, not every one of us prays for our missionaries, but you are still very much part of what happens with our mission. Why? Because you are part of the group called Bethel Baptist Church. You can take victory even though the group is the one that got the win. You got to understand something. Preacher leads somebody to the Lord. I realize that somebody was added to the family. Somebody was added to the family has now become my brother. Somebody's added to the family now become my friend. Somebody's been added to the family, and I can take great joy and great hope and great victory in the fact that we are on the same team. I love the fact when people think that they are greater or lesser than somebody else. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. To think that somebody that picks up trash is lesser than somebody that teaches a Sunday school lesson. Have you ever taught a Sunday school class in the midst of a trash heap? You sure would like the person to pick up the trash before you taught, amen? Hey, listen to me now. You got to understand something. Joshua went back saying, yeah, I was there. Joshua went back and said, yeah, there was definitely a victory. Joshua went back and said, yeah, maybe they called me the leader, and yeah, maybe I was magnified. But he wants to make you understand that he came back and he set up a personal memorial, a personal place that is there to this day, by the way, a personal place that he could go, a personal place where he could stay, a personal place where he could kneel, a personal, of course, it was in the river. May not want to kneel there unless the water had gone down a little bit, just a side note. A personal place that was there to this day that he could say that he was part of something that was bigger than himself. We talk about this together. Everybody accomplishes much. When we cross over, are you going to stop serving God? Woo-hoo. Be careful now. Be careful. I'm all done. When we cross over, and there'll be a day when we cross over, we won't believe it. It's going to be like the rapture. You're going to go up a moment of a twinkle of an eye. You won't believe it when you're there. You're going to go up and say, whoa, he wasn't lying. Huh? We're going to get over to that church property. And you're going to say, glory to God. He wasn't lying. Huh? You're going to stand there. You're going to say, you know what? I wasn't that big of a part. You're going to stand there and say, you know what? I didn't give all kind of money to this. By the way, who of us has money to give? I'm looking around. I don't see anybody rich. Matter of fact, the vast majority of us are poor. Who's going to do it? We look around and we see, well, I wasn't preaching when this came. Glory to God, all I did is sat in a pew. And I want everybody to work. I don't want you just to be a pew sitter. But understand this, you that sit in pews, you're just as much a part of this. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't be near as excited preaching to two as I am to this crowd. Come on now. You got to understand something. We are Bethel Baptist Church. You are a part. And there's got to be a time when you come to the realization that you are very important to this ministry. There's got to come a time when you realize that you are going to see a great miracle wrought by your Savior if you already haven't seen one. When that day comes, take you up 12 stones. Take you up 12 stones and put you a place of remembrance. A place that you can go back to. A place that you can remember that God performed what he said he was going to do. That God kept his promise. That you saw that mighty hand of your God. And it was a place that you had a wonderful part. That place, if we can have it to go back to, if we can go back to that place, we can remember that our God truly is amazing. Come on now. We can remember that our God truly is amazing. Because it's not going to be every day that the water heaps up. It's not going to be every day that the Lord takes you across the Jordan on dry ground. It's not going to be every day that the Lord shows you great things. But if you have a place that you can personally go back to and say, this is where I won. This is where the Lord helped me to have victory. This is where the Lord kept his promise. This is where the Lord fulfilled his word. And this is where the Lord let me be a part. Set you up 12 more stones. Oh, the group wants the victory. But you should be willing to claim the victory of the group as your own. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for letting us even be part of any victory. Lord, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve your greatness. We don't deserve your almighty power. We don't deserve your salvation. We don't deserve your Son. We don't deserve a perfect word. But Lord, all of that you give to us freely as a gift. God, let us not forsake the promises. Let us not forsake the past victories. Let us not forsake the days when you showed yourself mighty and trade them in for days when you seem like you're not there. Lord, let us realize through the rest of our days as Christians that there should be places that we can go back to and recognize how truly great you are. God, please be with us. We're going to be going on a journey. The Bible describes it a place that they've never been before, and I've got to be honest with you, God. I don't believe the people in this room have ever been on this journey before. I know I haven't. Lord, there's unknown out there. Lord, there's a great river, and that river has overflowed its banks. And Lord, you truly are going to have to heap the waters up for us to get across, because there's no way we can get across without it. Lord, let us be willing to set up a memorial out on that church property, but let us also be willing to go back to the river. To go back to the river, back to that place where the crossing was, and claim it. Let us claim it. Let us claim it individually as people. Let us claim it individually as people that realize how great you are. Please be with us tonight. Because, Lord, you truly are great. You truly are mighty. And I'm so thankful the two promises that I cling to more than any in the Scripture are, you cannot lie, and I'm so thankful that you cannot change. God, help us tonight to realize those things and claim a great and wonderful victory that you have truly wrought in each and every one of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
May I close? How many could really say tonight, I was thinking about those stones. Another thing it taught us, you're going to make it to the other side. We're going to cross over to the other side. The other side called heaven. I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm going to make it because my pillar, Jesus, is standing there. He made it for me. He crossed over before me. He died and he arose and he went to heaven before me. He made a way for all of us. I wonder how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I know I'm saved and I'd go to heaven. Could you raise your hand? I know for a fact I'm saved and if I die, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. Maybe you're here tonight, you just say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I am a Christian, but to be honest with you, I've been kind of discouraged. Would you pray that God would encourage me and I'd see some more victories in my life so I'd be excited like Joshua and the rest of them? Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. Yes. God bless you. We're going to give an invitation if you'd like to come forward for any reason tonight. That's what the altar's for, just to pray. Draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that we would think about these 12 stones that Joshua put up. And Lord Father, that we would have some personal victories along with the church victories, Lord. I pray we'll remember them, and may they be things that would help us as we go through our life, to draw strength from, to be encouraged from, to be comforted from, to help us to go another day, walk that extra mile, and not to give up, not to turn back. Say, no, the victory's right there before me. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, Brother Mike? 401. Page 401. If you'd like to come, you come right now.
Come.
You just come.